Today's episode is brought to you by Nadeau Shave Co. Big Shave has been psyoping the American people for decades with their multi-blade razor scam. Eliminate razor burn, irritation, and ingrown hairs caused by deep penetrating multi-blade cartridges. You don't need expensive plastic replacement cartridges. Nadeau Shave Co. supplies you with a single stainless steel blade like your grandfather used to use. High quality razor blades for a precise and clean shave. The chrome plated Swedish stainless steel blades made of electroplated brass, the twist-to-open handle found on our traditional safety razors make changing blades a snap. Whether you're shaving your entire face or just edging up your beard, our single blade provides a barber-grade shave for a fraction of the price. Our standard issue includes one traditional safety razor and a box of 100 stainless steel razor blades. Plastic-free, 100% recyclable, and $75 allows you to shave for an entire year. And for those who like to use a brand new blade for each shave, sign up for our Quarter Shave Club. Members receive a major discount and pay 25 cents per shave. Take down Big Shave and visit NadeauShaveCo.com to get yourself their traditional safety razor. Veteran owned, family operated. And be sure to use promo code Nephilim for 15% off your entire order. That's NEPHILIM for 15% off your entire order.
We are being hypnotized by people like this. Newsreaders, politicians, teachers, lecturers.
We are in a country and in a world that is being run by unbelievably sick people. The chasm between what we're told is going on and what is really going on is absolutely enormous.
Oh yeah, dude. There's some Nephilim shit. It's like we all know what's going down, but no one's saying shit. What happened to the home of the brave? These motherfuckers, they controlling us now, and no one's talking about how they made us try to be slaves. And everybody's just walking around, head in the clouds, and won't awaken to a dead in the grave. But then it's too late, we need to be ready to raise up. Welcome to the end of day. Everybody is
Welcome back, infidels and goyim, to Neph to America, your cultural commentary for the end of days. I am David Lee Corbo, a.k.a. The Raven. That's Top Lobster. And we decided that last week, you guys just didn't deserve an episode. We talked about it. We got together and we were like, these people, they disgust us. And I don't think we should perform for them. I'm tired of being your monkey.
Man, last week was kind of fucked up. Yeah, I was sick. I was about to make it. It was like maybe 5 minutes to the show, 10 minutes. And I was like, all right, I'm ready to pack some stuff up. My daughter walks up to me. She goes, I don't really feel that good. I was like, shut up, retard. I got shit to do. And she just goes, like projectile vomits across the floor. And I was like, oh. So I called David. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it, man. It's bad out here. I was like, let's do the next day. The next day, I'm projectile vomiting and just shitting myself. So I was like, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen today, man. We're going to have to... I mean, I was honestly like, fuck these people.
You had energy about you that was like, I'm still going to try. Like, he's crawling across the floor. There's vomit. There's shit everywhere. And he's, like, trying to make his way to the mic. I think he actually passed out on the way there. But you know that thing where kids do where they throw up in such a way that it's like the exorcism, right? Or The Exorcist, that movie where it's just projectile. Like, I haven't had that as an adult in a long time, but I remember those days as a kid where, like, you have no say. It's coming out. Like, no, she dude. Had the decency to be like, I don't think I feel too hot, Dad. And then she's just, yeah.
My son did not have the decency. That night, he was in his room and then he cried. So, like, I went in there and I'm trying to put him back to sleep. And then he's, like, laying down. And I hear him going like making a weird noise. So I like sit up a little bit and I look at him and he kind of sits up. He looks at me and just goes all over everything. And me like an asshole, I put my hands out and I caught it because I was like, fuck the sheets. So now I'm like holding puke, but I realize that it's already everywhere. This is almost my entire weekend. It was just fucking dealing with puke, dealing with David's son getting bit.
Oh my God. Again, Top's dog mauled my son. Guys, if you are listening to this show and you're an OG, this is show lore now. This has become tradition. Is every time I go to Top's house, his dog mauls my son beyond repair. We actually almost had to get stitches, and they were like, no, we're not going to stitch that up, because if you stitch it up, it just traps like dog bacteria in the wound. So they were like, nah, he'll just have to rough it out. But we were almost, because you had a whole roller coaster.
I think color the correct black, question dude. Is what color is David's son? Not my dog. My dog's white.
He's a couple of shades too dark. I think that's what it is, because the other kids, they made it out scot-free. And they're a little bit lighter in complexion, but my son, he spends some time out, you know, outdoors playing, and he's got a couple of shades too dark on him. And this dog's like, not in my fucking house. And just
not in my house.
Just fucks him up, dude. It was absolutely traumatizing. Absolutely traumatizing.
It was depressing. I like went through means to get the dog not in the house. And it's just a whole thing. It was at a birthday party. I feel really bad. But then part of me wants to like obviously make fun of it, because it's fucking hilarious on its face. It's just like, what do you mean? Again, every single time.
You know
what's
really funny is everybody had to come and see. That was the part that I felt bad about. The only part that I was like, all right, guys, was like everybody, like obviously you and Christina have to see what's going on. And there was another nurse there, and that was good. But everybody had to keep like coming in and like staring. And I'm like, I you don't know what to say, right? I like look over, I'm like, fucking dog bit him, you know? And then like one person will walk away, and then they'll come back and they'll stare, and I'll go,
it's a dog bite.
Bit him good, dude. Bit him good. It's like, dude, I don't know what to tell you, but you got to move. But the whole thing was a bummer, because it was such a, you went through this thing, right? Where your kids are puking, and then you're shitting and puking, and then you make it to, you drag your nearly lifeless body out to perform live with the Revenge of the Sis guys and the Who Are These Podcast guys, which, awesome. I we got to get into that. I want to talk about it. And then that's Friday, right? Saturday, the dogs, you're organizing a whole birthday party. The dog is mauling my child, kitten, you know, just ruthlessly just mauling my child, holes in his legs. You had like, I mean, it was bad for me. And, you know, I'm sure he'll be fine, my kid. It's not really a big deal. But you, dude, you just went through just a roller coaster, and it ended just miserably.
This entire time, I didn't think about how bad that it was for me. Like the entire time I was like, it was just like, oh, these things have been an unfortunate series of events. I feel bad for the people around me. And now I'm like, yeah, that does kind of suck for me. Like, fuck David's kid. That was like, for me, that was off. My favorite part of the whole thing, everyone's popping in the bathroom.
Just watching like, him get bit. Yeah.
Is he going to live? Like this kind of shit. And at one point I come in, I'm like, how's he doing? And I go and look, and he looks at me, he goes, I need ice cream. And I'm like, I look at David and his wife, and she goes, just get him some ice cream. So, yeah. Like, what the
Which,
fuck?
By the way, he does not eat the ice cream. I ended up eating the ice cream, because I think the shock started to wear off and the pain kicked in from the vicious dog mauling. And then I didn't know what, I'm like, I'm not going to let the ice cream melt, so I'm going to eat the ice cream. It was the only thing that I could do. You know, there's really only so many hands you can stick in the pot. That is a bleeding child, to try to remedy the situation, when at the end of the day, your wife is a nurse, and we're just kind of retarded, useless people that are just standing around going like, yeah, it looks pretty bad, dude.
Yeah. Oh, they're right there. There it is. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, I can see here.
Oh, yeah. It's like a hole. Yeah, it's a whole thing. And you go, all right, man. And I'm sure my wife is like, can you, you're fucking, it's like she's already dealing with her husband being useless. And then every other useless person is stepping in and staring. It was a whole thing. But outside of the mauling of the child, which I think actually was probably some form of a sacrifice, because I don't know if you noticed, it happened on a full moon. It happened on a full moon. And so that energy, that whole weekend was really weird. But I want to talk about your appearance on the sort of the live podcast that was the Who Are These Podcast guys, which hell of a name, and also Revenge of the Sis, and then who's up there sitting there with them? It's our boy Top Lobster, and apparently dragged into this in such a way that you really didn't know you were going to be on stage, and then you got up there and you crushed it, by the way. And I know you're one of these people that are a little self-critical, and so, you know, we'll give you your roses on this, because you came out hot. hating the Jews, hating the gays, big laughs. It was good, man. It was genuinely good. But what, like, I mean, can you talk about it a little bit? Because you're finding yourself, I feel like, doing a lot of onstage stuff lately. Like, not for nothing, guys. Before we pass the baton, Leonarda Journey, is that what we called her on our show, Journey?
I forgot we completely disrespected her last name, too.
Oh, my God. And she took that shit for an entire episode.
I wasn't going to talk about this. But if, I guess if you
I want to talk
it up,
about it, because I think that that is high praise, because Leonarda in my book is so funny, dude. Like, she's crushing it. You know, she's going to be huge. Was it Adriano Optimistic Bear said Jordy? Is it Jordy or Journey? Something we really fucked up. Actually, I'm not going to share the blame
now.
It was top.
It's Joni. J-O-N-I-E. Not Jordy. Yeah. I thought it was Jordy.
Jordy is no one's name, dude. Nobody's. Joni is a fucking actual regular name. You were like, you know why? Because Leonarda is jarring. It's like they thought they were going to have a boy, and they just named her some crazy shit after that. But she said
like, we love the Ninja Turtles.
Here we go.
So we named our daughter.
That's it. Here, pull this up. I love this, dude. So first off, top with the banger. Pray for Selena Gomez with a hilarious picture of Ethan from fucking Ethan Klein from H3E3 or whatever the fuck that shitty podcast is. And then with the high praise, Leonarda Journey, why is Top Lobster funnier than 90% of the comedians in Austin right now? Damn, dude. That's got to feel.
Response.
I mean,
minutes before I said, I don't respect the opinions of women. That was today. And then she said that, and I was like, I've changed my mind.
Some women can get it. Some women can get in. But this has got to smother some of the pain from watching your ravenous beast maul my child, right? This has got to eclipse some of that, because I know that that weighed heavy on you.
This happened,
and I'm
didn't
hoping...
even, I don't even remember the kid's name anymore.
He's like, how's your son? How's, and I was like, my son. And he's like, Jordy?
Guy.
Joni? Jack.
Joni. You know, that guy.
But man, how cool is that? I love Leonarda. I think that's awesome. And I think the uncomfortable truth here is that, yeah, dude, you're crushing it. And who knew that the way forward to being funnier than 90% of the comedians in Austin was to just be overtly
not
racist, homophobic, and misogynistic. That too. That's probably one of the key elements there.
Again, I like Leonarda Journey. I think she's wrong. By default, she's a woman. That's the hard part for me. I'm like, that's thank you, but you're also a woman. I don't think it's true, number one. I think what's going on here is people just have become less funny. It's not like I am very funny. People in general, that's how low the bar is. And for me, like a fan of stand-up comedy and comedy in general, it's really sad and annoying to see, because I would, again, I say it 100 times, I'd rather be driving a truck and listening to funny people talk. Like now I have to talk, and it's not that funny. It's just like, I'm just kind of doing what I thought was funny from what I've heard from other people do. I guess that's how you build your sense of humor, right? Like people like molding packs of clay on you, of like people that you've listened to.
Who would you say that you draw from? Like, who inspired you? Whose comedy did you really absorb?
It's hard to say. It's too many people at this point. Like, cause it's like a lot of, I know that sometimes when I will say or do something, I'm like, oh, because I heard, I don't know, maybe I heard like a Dave Smith craft a joke in this way. Or maybe I've heard, obviously, you know, like the Skanks guys are big, but I'm like, it's also like, how much of that is even my originality? How much, whatever. The point being is like, other people are almost intentionally trying to not be funny. If you think that I am funnier than some of the people that are doing it professionally, it's sad. And honestly, it might be true, but the fact is like, I'm not funnier. They just really suck. So please step your fucking game up, guys. It's annoying.
That's
I
what
wanna
it is,
enjoy.
The degradation. The degradation of comedy, right? But it's like the Overton window they talk
I'm
about
the
in politics, where it's
girl.
Like, that's it. I'm King Retard. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
But you know, when they say that I am not right wing, it's just that the political window is shifted in such a way that now, like, you know, whatever. I don't know how the analogy goes, but it's certainly that in comedy where it's like, I'm not funny. I'm still a dude from the 90s. You know what I mean? And it's like the window is shifted in such a way that now comedy is just gay. And if you're just a regular dude, people are starving for that kind of shit. But I thought it was...
Of my friends from Coney Island, I said this on Tower Gang, I am the least funny person in that group, in my opinion. Like, we'll sit there...
But they all moved in that direction, right? And got kind of quiet.
Yeah, well, they stopped saying what they meant. But, like, back in the day when you could say what you mean, I was in a room full of killers every single day. And, like, if you came in there dressed the wrong way, they're going to kill you. And you're, like, it's a chill room, you know, like a chill spot, like, on the weekend. We're there for fucking 6 hours. And most of it is just, like, you walk in the room and they go, like, look you up and down. And if, like, anything is wrong, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be the whole, like, I got a crease on my sneakers. It's going to be the whole day that they're just going to keep on trying and trying and trying to kill you, literally kill you with words. So it's like, I was the least funny. Some of the shit that I had said to me by my friends is just like, I wouldn't even suggest they record it. It was like, fuck it. It's hilarious and mean. But yeah, fuck these people, man. Just step your game up. I want to laugh. I want to laugh at shit again.
You do need people like that, though. Like, I used to be 250 pounds, and I was probably close to 260, actually. And I'm only 5'7", so, like, I was a fucking tank. And I had some friends that were, they would always make fun of me. One of them called my belly button a swimming pool for ants, which is, like, you know, that it's a line from Zoolander or something. Yeah, he's like, what is this, a school for ants? Or, and they said my belly button was a school or a pool for ants. But the thing that really got me was I had my shirt off one day and somebody said something about, like, the dark creases under my tits. And I went home and, like, looked at my tits and I could see, like, it was dark and shiny. And I was like, maybe I'm just sweating. Like, you know, maybe I just, and I would, like, shower and scrub it, like, really aggressively. And then, like, by the end of the day, that shiny crease was still there. And I was like, oh, dude, I'm fucking fat. But it took a long time. It took the homies dunking on me. Because if you don't have, like, scrutinizing homies, there's a point of diminishing returns when it hurts really bad. Probably what you guys are doing to Toad. But
that's exactly
there is a sweet spot. Yeah, it's going bad. It's like trying to get him to kill himself. But I think that maybe that is why you crushed on stage, right? Because those people, you came out, dude, and you were like, oh, great, we're going to be talking about, you know, what was it, queer kids, something or another. And you were like, oh, great, I hate the gays. And I heard you said something to me. You were like, yeah, listen to the audience. You'll hear them gasp. And it was like, and then they don't know.
That's the fun part for me. So, like, I don't know what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do. They said, oh, you're going to talk about queer kids stuff. And I may have seen it years ago, but I was like, I don't recall it. I mean, I could tell what it is by the name. And they're like, oh, perfect. You're going to love it. Just go watch that. So I was like, all right, we get up there and I realize these people don't know me and I don't know their fan base. I don't even know their show. I don't belong on their show. I've watched it maybe once when they were talking about Tower Gang. And I do like the guy. I like Carl and all those dudes. They were really fucking cool. They put together a cool ass event, really cool people. But I just don't know. I don't know their audience. I'm like, if I say, and I thought about it, part of it was like, do I go crazy? Do I say whatever? Because if they don't like the racist shit and they start throwing stuff, you can't see them. There's like bright, like, lights in your eyes. I'm like, they're going to throw shit at me. Someone's going to hit me with something. I don't know. And I was like, you know, I don't give a fuck. Like, if they don't like it, then they don't like it. And the first thing I did, I said something like, they said, oh, we're going to show you queer kid shit. And I was like, perfect. I hate the gays. And somebody goes, like, you could hear it, and then the rest of the people laugh, and I was like, that was just weird. And I was like, whatever. Fuck it. We're just going to...
That's what I heard, and it sounded like everybody loved it. It sounded like you shocked them, and then they loved it. At another point, you dropped some Jew bangers, and people loved that, too. And I was like, damn, dude. Like, it was cool. It was really cool to hear you crush on the show, especially up there. You know, I really like the Revenge of the Sis guys. I think Mersh is fucking hilarious, and so you're right up there with him. But it's a cool... Unfortunately, my son just fucked everything up, but it was a cool weekend for you. You know what I mean? Like, it was a good time. So, you know, congratulations on that, because I think that was dope.
It was not really a good time, actually, David. It wasn't a good time because I was coming off of 2 days Well, so the kids were sick one day. The next day, I was like violently sick. I couldn't even get out of bed at one point. I usually put the kids to bed. I just fucking slept on. I guess that was Friday. And I was like, I better be better by tomorrow, because here's what I did. The reason I went to this event was we printed all the shirts for Royce and Mersh, and we printed all the shirts and posters for the Who Are These Podcast Guys. Here's what happened. They sent half the order to me. The other half was taking a long time, and my manufacturer was like, yo, this is taking a while. And I was like, what are we going to do? If you send it to me, it might not make it. He said, I'm going to send it to the venue. He calls the venue. No problem. Send it. So I was like, fuck. Now I have half of these shirts. The venue's 2.5 hours away. We could have just sent it there. I was not like, I could have not even gone. And but now I'm deathly sick, and I have to get these t-shirts and these posters there. So I drive for 2.5 hours. We stop. I shit in the gas. I'm sick. I'm like weak. I haven't eaten for like 2 days. And then they're like, oh, you're going to come on stage. You want to come on? And I'm like, I guess.
Can't say no. You can't say no. If you said no, dude, I would have judged you. If you were like, yo, fucking, it's crazy because I went over there and I just didn't feel good, I'd have been like, oh, your tummy hurt? Your tummy hurt and you couldn't go do the cool thing? You couldn't get on stage because you had little poopies? But you did it, dude.
I straight up wouldn't, though. But he showed me. He was like, he had segments of the show. He was like, so this segment here, you're going to come on stage with this person, and this person. And then we're going to switch. So I was like, oh, shit. Like, they already have me. Like, he had me written in. He didn't even tell me. So I was like, all right. Like, I was like, I got it. I guess I got to do it, because I'm not going to put this guy in a spot. There's a lot of people here. He's doing a show. So I was like, all right, I'll do it. And whatever. I did it.
It was hilarious. Well, you did it. You crushed. They didn't keep you up there for too long, which I thought was good, man. You were up there for like 45 minutes or some shit. Did your thing, got out of there with Mersh and them, and then I guess, you know, you got back home. But I would say, all things considered, that makes the weekend a win. Yeah, because it was like sandwiched between two shitty things. It was like children puking, fucking child getting mauled, and then right in the middle of it is you on stage not shitting your pants, which would have also been hilarious. Like, if it was real bad and you had to like get up and leave the stage because you were about to shit yourself, that would have been fucking hilarious too. But you didn't, man. You held it together.
Thank God. Clench my cheeks. We were good to go. So we're going to be doing, yeah, let's pull that up. The event, Sam Tripoli.
That's right. We got to fucking tell people about shit.
Yeah, we're doing that. That's this weekend. That's like, man, a couple of days. So let's share that tab. There we go.
Yeah, today's Monday, right? So guys, go to samtripoli.com. Go click on events. And you'll see his event for March 30th, which is 5 days away, guys. And we're going to be up there with Sam Tripoli at the Joke Joint doing a live podcast with, by the way, a bunch of people are going to be there. It looks like it's going to be us, Juan of the One-on-One Podcast, Thomas of Paranoid American, Chaney of Chaney in Wonderland, and the Secret Society of Good Guys, I think it's called. There's also going to be, I think Clint Russell is coming, right?
Yeah, Clint, and Josie.
He's bringing Josie along too.
The Revenge of the Sith guys said that they're coming. They're probably going to show up.
Oh, that's hilarious. We might even have Mark Clare, who might come around. And there's even a slim chance that Stu Peters might swing by. So just completely fucking, like, what the fuck is going on, man? I don't even understand what this is going to be. I think Sam Tripoli is going to go, did you just invite all these people? And you know what we're going to say? Yeah, Sam, yep. We fucking did. We did, because it's our show. You announced that you're doing a show with the Nephilim Death Squad, guys. And we bought the Death Squad. We bought fucking everybody. So go to samtripoli.com, click on events, click on March 30th, and get your tickets, guys. And come and see us in Summerfield in Florida for something that's going to be really dope. And can we talk about this? Do you think it's too premature, or should I keep it under wraps? It's just an idea that I was very excited to tell you about. All right, so Top and I, now somebody said something about my wet mouth, and my mouth is very wet right now. I can feel it. It's
wetter
me
than
insecure.
Ever. So I could hear it. It's crazy.
It's just like it started, like it was like a nervous thing. So I had this idea driving to Top's house because we want to do live events, right? And very inspired by the Legion of Skanks guys, I'm thinking we could do some sort of an event that maybe one day evolves into a festival. And it could be music, it could be comedy, it could be live podcasts. And I had this idea for calling it Bohemian Grove, right? Which fucking banger of a name. Bohemian Grove is, there we go. And Bohemian Grove would be, like I said, stand-up comedy, music, live podcast, everything would be a, I don't have any chewing towels, guys, so you'll have to muscle through it. He gave me like 300, Matt Rife, but no, they're just stocked away somewhere. So we want it to be, everything is themed after like secret society stuff. And I was thinking, how cool would it be? You know how they do the cremation of care at the foot of a giant owl statue? Well, what if we had our own cremation of care? What if we did a roast battle, right? And what if we had one person in particular get roasted at the end of the night, and we would call it a mock sacrifice? Because because I'm a genius, right? We're fucking mocking them, dude. We're mocking them, and it's a sacrifice at the foot of a giant, maybe like a giant winged lobster. How cool would that be if it was like a lobster with giant wings?
I'm just surprised that this guy still has fingers, because he's at his job doing all kinds of welding and grinding, I assume. And all he's doing is like coming up with concepts. That's it. Like, he's not really working. He's just thinking of ideas. It's crazy.
All day. Honestly, like all day. All I do is just my brain just goes on loop about all kinds of crazy shit. But so that's the goal, guys. And we're shooting it for October, because October is going to be the 200th episode of Tower Gang, which is dope as hell. It's also going to be the 1 year anniversary of Nephilim Death Squad. So October, we're trying to shoot for the very first Bohemian Grove, and we're going to try to get as many big names as we can in there. I don't know how we're going to pay for these people. We'll figure out the rest, but look forward to that, because I mean, dude, is it not a banger of an idea? I want black robes. I want us in black robes. I want there to be torches. Right, like tiki torches. I'd like it to be in the evening. My mouth does not sound wet. Don't listen to these fools. I always thought you had a mint or something. Never paid any mind. Thank you, Luthen the Rebel.
If you wanted to gaslight David, that's the way to do it. Like to gaslight him in the other direction.
I'm easily like, all right, I look for all kinds of conspiracies, even in real life, right? You guys know about the dead dog that I pulled out of the river, which, by the way, case closed. They did find a dead body in the forest. So I was right. I was 100% right. So I look for conspiracies in real life, but I am easily fooled. And where I'm easily fooled is if you pay me a compliment. Like, if you pay me a compliment, dude, you can fucking rob my house. I'll open my front door and let you right in. If you say, like, those shoes are dope, or like, your mouth is got a wonderful dryness to it, I'm going to say, hey, come right in. Your mouth has come on in. Put your feet up. You know, stay a while and you could rob me blind. I'm just easily lied to when it comes to compliments. So
this is like my use dad. That against me. That's like, if you compliment the temperature of his pool, that's one of the things that it's like, doesn't matter what, you could literally cut his dog's head off and be like, the pool, 70 degrees. It's wonderful. He'd be like,
he got on me. He was like, why do you wear a watch if you don't look at it to tell time? Because my watch was not set. It was disrespectfully not set. Like, it wasn't even according close to daylight savings. It was off by like an hour and a half. Made no sense at all. And they said, why do you wear a watch? And I'm like, I wear a watch because it looks nice, because I've got gold sneakers on and a gold watch. And I say, I look at the sky so I can tell what time it is. And you could tell in that moment, every like little bit of respect that man had for me went straight downhill. That was the moment he let the dog in.
He said, fuck this guy's kid. I just didn't like the watch. I didn't like the style of the watch. It was like a kind of ornate golden watch, and then it had a digital clock on it. I feel like it should have a, what's that called, an analog clock?
It was a Casio. It was a Casio. They're a classic, inexpensive, but throwback, like vintage style watch. And it was all gold. And I want the one, I even told you, has a calculator on the face, because I'll use my watch for everything but telling time. I won't use it. I won't ever set it, but I will fucking put in simple mathematical equations into my watch so that I could do that. But I haven't gotten that one. I do got to get that one. But your dad was very much like, he was like, you could tell, he's getting to know me more, and he's like,
I don't like him.
I don't understand. I don't like him. I don't get it. Yeah, it was definitely like there was a moment right there where a line was drawn and he was like, I don't fucking no. No. But I think I can win him back. I think if he is like me, it's the watch. It was the watch. But I think that I can get him back. If I tell him like his pool's nice or something like that, we'll see when the summertime rolls around.
It's gonna be rough.
I'm gonna try to reel your dad back in.
Summer David might cancel out the compliments to the pool. Like if you come with like yellow sunglasses and bleach blonde hair and be like, hey, nice pool, he might be like, hey, faggot, get out of here.
My fucking yellow. Did I have yellow sunglasses on? No, I didn't. Don't think I did that. I think I didn't. I've been trying not to wear sunglasses because somebody was like, the sun does good things for your eyes and you should not wear sunglasses. And so I'm like, all right, I guess I'll just listen to. It's not difficult. It's not about the difficulty, Adriano. It's about the fact that I can tell what time it is by just the overall feeling of the day. And I don't need to set the effort that it takes to do that. I would not look at it anyway. It's really just to fucking move fast and kind of hypnotize people.
It's actually your fault that your son got bit, because you said we were about to leave. And if maybe if his clock was set correctly, they would have left.
I would have left on time.
Well before this incident happened, an hour and a half before at least.
Dude, I was so pathetic. I'm like I see this thing unfolding. And my son ends up having a crush on some like little girl that's there, and he wants to, you know, play with her and hang out with her the whole time. And
oh, he does have a crush confirmed?
I think so. Well, no, he says he doesn't because he's got a girlfriend at school and he's not a piece of shit. All right. So he's like, no, I was like, you don't? And he's like, no. And I was like, you just like hanging out with her? And he was like, yeah, she's really nice. And I was like, all right, dude. All right. No problem. So
are you fucking gay? What are you, gay, bro?
You're supposed to have multiple girlfriends, you little fag. So he's not going to balloon in the air, and they're playing keep up with it. And the balloon goes over towards the dog. And I'm such a fat fucking schmuck that I watch the balloon fly over towards the dog. I watch the kids go over there and I go with my empty plate. I go, huh, that's a bad idea. And then I go get cake. And then less than a minute later, it happens.
The cake was really fucking good. It was good.
It was really good.
I got some more in my fridge. I'm going to have it after the show.
I like that you guys aren't ice cream cake people. You're cake and ice cream people, which is dope. It was like, here's cake. It's dry. To lubricate it, here's ice cream on the side.
Because, dude, it's
ice cream cake is the biggest conspiracy theory. It's not cake, pieces of shit. It's ice cream. It's not square ice cream.
It's not even ice cream. I like ice cream cake because the kind of ice cream that it is, it's not ice cream. It's something different. Like the ice cream that you scoop out and you put in, or the ice cream you soft serve, does not taste like ice cream cake, right? Am I right here, people? It's got a certain...
Because they're you don't eat ice cream and they put icing on top. So the icing is doing, it's in your mouth. It's doing different things. It's not really ice cream. It's a different thing. They're just putting icing on top of it, and they think that makes it cake. And then you have to have a conversation about what constitutes cake? What is cake? Is it just putting icing on shit makes it cake?
Imagine if everything could be cake, but literally ice cream cake can't be cake. Like, this could be cake.
Like, if it's got icing on it.
I guarantee you. If I put it down and then I cut into it and it was cake, you'd be like, fucking probably. Everything is cake nowadays. If I cut my microphone and it was just cake, you guys would probably be like, it's cake. But
see,
if I cut an ice cream cake, not cake.
This is why we need some sort of divine intervention. We need the return of Christ. He needs to show up with a sword because
he's got to come back.
We've strayed so far. You know, we've gotten to the point now where you think that you could put a vagina on like a silicone object and it becomes a vagina. You know, you have like the vajankle, which is just a severed foot with a vagina in the top of it. And it's like, guys, we've oversimplified everything. Putting a vagina in something does not make it a vagina, right? Putting a slit in something that you stick your penis in does not make it a vagina. Putting icing on things does not make it cake. And we've gotten so reductive and so simplistic, and we've sort of twisted God's creation in such a way that whatever comes next, we deserve it. You know, we do have content.
do we? Wait, I wanted to go back to, listen, guys, if you like the idea about the Bohemian Grove, This is David's like, we're doing it. We're like, listen, if you like this idea, let us know. We think it could be cool. Paired with the 200th episode of Tower Gang, that audience, big overlap from this audience, a conspiracy festival, not just what David was talking about, but like a sort of festival where maybe we'll have somebody like a Juan do a presentation about the homunculus. And if we can get like a Joel Thomas down, he'll do a presentation about the Nephilim. And if, you know, things like this, like where you can go room to room, if we can get it big enough, we get enough people to commit, we can get somebody like Sam Tripoli to come and break that up with some stand-up comedy. It could be a dope event. It could be like the comedy conspiracy version of, Skankfest. It's not going to be like Skankfest. Skankfest is crazy, but it can be something cool, not just a regular conspiracy convention, something fun.
Yeah, I think we could pull it off. I think it could be really fun. We were talking about it earlier. I'd love to get Leonarda Joni and actually say her fucking name right. But I think she'd be a perfect addition to like that kind of conversation, Joni. So yeah, guys, if you're into that, like, you know, say something in the chat or hit us up on Twitter, because we need to get a feel. And I think, like, you know, this involves selling tickets. And somebody said where. I think, obviously, you know, whatever's easiest for me and you.
We don't know, but I like the venue that we're doing now, because it has an outside space. It has a really like this a smaller inside space. It's a pretty cool venue. It could suit that. It depends on how many people are there and what we're doing.
I'd like to turn it one day into. I went to the Renaissance Fair, and that was very recently. I went to the Renaissance Fair, and I'm dressed up in the, you know, Renaissance outfit, and it was a little bit. It was okay. But what I did think was cool is you're in this canopy of trees, and there you go, boom. You're in this canopy of trees, and everybody is dressed old-timey style. And, you know, everything is, all the attractions are all old-timey. And I'm like, how cool would it be if you can grow this to the point where, like, you come in and, yeah, like, wear a cloak, bitch. Show up in a cloak. We're going to be in the woods by firelight, you know, doing weird shit. I don't know what kind of weird shit we're going to do. I don't want to blaspheme. But that's one of the things. I don't want to create a real cult. I am a little bit afraid of that. I don't want to
dangerously
actually.
Close.
Right. And I don't want to pay homage to the Owl of Minerva. I don't want to accidentally do any of these things ironically. So we have to make sure that we do it the right way, where we're not accidentally giving energy to some, you know, Old Testament deities. But I think ultimately that's my vision. I'm like, can we get these motherfuckers all into the woods of Florida?
Honestly, the farthest, listen, I don't even know if we should have cloaks and stuff, but the furthest we should definitely go is I like the mock sacrifice with the, what's that called?
Roast
with the
battle?
Roasting. Yeah. You're basically setting this person on fire. That's funny with your words. Maybe people can wear cloaks for that, but it would be weird everyone walking around in cloaks the whole time. Don't do that.
This is a weird thing. All right, yeah, fine. That's the only other attire.
Shout out to Cooper Recycling. Look at this fucking dirty-ass shirt. Shout out to these guys. They're on Varick Avenue. If you've got garbage, Varick Avenue in Brooklyn, go out there. Tell them I sent you. Use promo code NephilimDesquad.
No, right, we're doing more shout outs. We're doing more shout outs. No, we got to do this one too. And also shout out to Integrated Medical in Port Richey. Guys, if you buy I think it's the Jurassic Park penis shirt from Tower Gang, or the non-existent Dangerous Retard shirt that we're going to launch eventually. And we haven't set a time on this yet, so you guys still have time. It's not like the thing's already running. But if you do that, you'll be eligible to win a penis pump. And hopefully, with our guidance, you'll be the next winner of Cocktober. That's the goal, honestly. That's what I really want for these people, is I want them to be able to carry on the legacy. I want to pass somebody the torch. I'd rather it be our own fans that we provide with a penis pump. I know this is a show about God, so please forgive me. Anyway...
Until then, go pick up, we have some new Nephilim Death Squad stuff. I have this new shirt, the filth shirt. That's actually Rabbi Shmuley's handwriting that he wrote on his forehead. So go pick that one up. Be filth. This is our newest one.
Weird, huh?
This shirt actually my cousin designed.
That's dope.
So that's his handwriting, as like he was a graffiti artist. So this is kind of cool. I got some of those coming.
That's dope as hell.
Pick up some shit. Should be real cool. Yada, yada. Don't don't go to Cooper Recycling. They're only like, they take specialty garbage. They're not going to take your fucking domestic bullshit. Like they take high class garbage, like big stuff.
Also, most of you guys are out of state. It's just not going to, don't do that.
It's not feasible. Right? Yeah. They're looking for metal.
Can we talk about the Michael Jackson thing? Because we're 40 minutes into the show and I don't know what we talked about, but right now what's real big is, and I don't think it's real big, I think it's not as big as it should be, is this P. Diddy and his sex ring. Turns out he's been running a sexual blackmail operation within the hip hop industry for like 30 years. That's the Epstein.
Racist. Can't call it blackmail when it's a brown male. Black dude. When it's a black male doing it.
Light-skinned male. I don't know. Whatever it's called, he's been doing it for 30 years. He's the Jeffrey Epstein of hip hop. And it was like, do you remember growing up and kind of seeing that around, like some kind of low-key gay shit in the hip-hop world? Like, remember Lil Wayne kissing baby on the lips?
I remember when The Game, you remember The Game, that he was like in G-Unit for a little bit, then he was out because they were like, oh, that nigga's gay. And I was like, he's gay for real? And that was like the word on the street that he's gay. But that kind of like, I don't know, he went away and that kind of was like, went away. I do remember my entire life seeing and hearing P. Diddy and realizing he has no discernible talent. So like, I never understood why he was there, like what he was doing. He was almost like he's like the Fat Joe to Big Pun, but Fat Joe is obviously a little bit better than P. Diddy. I just couldn't understand why he was there, but now it makes a lot of sense. He was just fucking the talent and blackmailing them. So there you go.
Well, he did that one jam with like Mace, right? It was like kind of cool. Remember the video?
Where they're with all the big silver jackets.
Yeah, they were in spacesuits and shit. Yeah. But he's always kind of had these rumors. It's weird because he's been brought up in allegations of being responsible for Tupac's death as well.
He fucked Mace up so bad that he had to find Christ, man. Mace turned into some kind of a preacher.
That's interesting because they were really close before Mace went away. And then when Mace came back and he had Welcome Back, and it was like, it was kind of a good song. I liked that song. I was like, this is dope. And then he was like, never mind. And he just went away again. Like, it was weird.
He's you guys are still doing this gay shit? It's been 20 years.
That's what, he was like, I came back and then they're still doing the butt stuff. There's really uncomfortable videos and I was on Stu Peter's show talking about this. One of the things that's I wish when I go on Stu Peter's is I wish I could see the clips, but you can never see the clips, right? He's like, all right, we're going to record this. And then he brings up the clip and he's reacting to it. And you're just going, like, you don't get to see the clips. So you don't know what's going on, but I've seen the clip before. So one of the things that he showed the audience was P. Diddy going to Justin Bieber and he's saying like, hey man, what's going on? You don't call me. You don't answer my calls. You don't come around no more. And little Justin Bieber was like, well, yeah, you know, it's kind of hard. So busy. And you try to get in touch with my people and, you know, but he's so afraid. And P. Diddy is like very chill, very emboldened, very like comfortable. And obviously the rumor is that he did quite a bit of butt fucking to young Biebs, which is horrible, really.
Heard, this is what I heard about P. Diddy. And again, I don't know why. I just remembered it now. He had one dude that was on his staff to cut his hair, right? And the guy, I assume, got paid well, but he was like his own personal barber everywhere all the time. And I'm like, how could you, like, realistically, you could only be cutting this guy's hair maybe 2 times a week. How many times does your hair need to be trimmed? But now I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, he was probably just fucking this guy too. Because like he would have other responsibilities, right? You're going to make $100,000 a year and you're going to cut my hair twice a week. You got to have other, and he's probably like, take this dick. Hold that dick.
Damn.
Gotta be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the same guy. I don't know if they are the same guy, but I know he had a dude on payroll that like, was also tasked with having like drugs on him at all time. So it was an otherwise benign position that the guy was in, like cutting hair, maybe cooking, something like that. But also on his person, he had all the drugs that Diddy liked. And he also had to know what drugs Diddy was on at all the time. So I guess it's like a glorified babysitter who also provided him with, you know, like, I got ecstasy on me There's always a guy within arm's reach who's got drugs. But
like a shaman, like a gay hip-hop shaman.
Like a gay shaman who also cuts hair, which is nice, you know? Because, like, not for nothing, a good barber is, like, definitely a valuable, especially once, you know, kind of the hip-hop industry really fucked it up with fades. Like, now we all have to have fades. And, like, fades are a difficult thing to do. You find somebody who's really good at them, very valuable. Now, if he also has within his smock a tremendous amount of, like, fentanyl and ecstasy and shit, like, that's a good barber. And then he also, you fuck
after
him?
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. That's crazy.
Top notch. Best barber
right?
ever.
So I can, now I get $100,000 a year. I understand. So what starts to come out now, and I bring up that Bieber thing because it's like, knowing what we know now, it's crazy how comfortable P. Diddy was in that video. Like, he knew he was untouchable. Somebody made him untouchable, right? And it's probably the same people that, in my opinion, and there's a lot of evidence that supports this, had him kill Michael Jackson. And it wouldn't have been the first time, because it's also my understanding that Diddy is responsible for funding
Did you just
the three
say
individuals.
Diddy killed Michael Jackson? Is that what you're saying?
So, okay, we're going to get there. Hold on. So Diddy also is responsible for funding the individuals who killed Tupac, or are suspected to have killed Tupac. So Suge Knight, and there was like a couple, I forget, it was like a dude and a chick who were also in on this, and they were directly connected to P. Diddy. Now, the way in which Diddy is connected to Michael Jackson's death is through an individual named Fahim Muhammad. Now, Fahim Muhammad is a really interesting character, because I think that he's tied into Mossad. So Diddy, Epstein, Mossad, the Virgin Islands. This is where a lot of these operations, these sexual blackmailing operations took place, was in the Virgin Islands, right? Talking Little St. James and shit. And Mossad obviously is rumored, isn't even the word that I would use. It seems, I suppose if you're a conspiracy theorist, that Mossad is directly involved with Epstein and this giant blackmail operation. So what else is going on in the Virgin Islands? Well, another blackmailing operations, but this one is run by P. Diddy. So Fahim Muhammad is a guy who is on P. Diddy's payroll. What's really interesting about Fahim Muhammad is that he graduates from, I believe it's Sacramento State University in 2008. And Tupac was also very gay, yes. He graduates from Sacramento State University in 2008. And he graduates with a bachelor's of science in marketing and real estate. It's like pretty benign shit, right? Like, okay, no big deal. And so by 2009, Fahim Muhammad is suddenly the head of Michael Jackson's security. Think about that for a second, right? What is a dude who just got, Serge Vincent with the super chat says, DMX was talking about all these rappers are faggots his whole career. He was a real dude from the streets, so he wanted to know where the hood went. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really interesting stuff about DMX. Thank you for the super chat. I think that he kind of was blowing the horn on that kind of shit constantly. Yeah. It's funny because we were celebrating him not long ago, right? The entire industry was. And it's like, in a time when he died, in a time where, like, everybody is being accused of homophobia and all this other shit, like, they're celebrating the life and death of DMX, who was one of the most aggressively homophobic dudes in the game. Love his music. But going back to Fahim Muhammad, what is a dude who just graduated it with a bachelor's of science in real estate administration and marketing? What is he doing as the king of pop's head of security? Not only that, he's the guy who's in charge when Michael Jackson dies. Mm. So what the fuck is that guy even doing there? And there's a lot of other weird stuff about him, too. Like, he owns 190 plus acres at the southern border. His property has the border on it, which is like, that's another thing entirely. But you go, well, if this dude was an integral part of taking out Michael Jackson, and for the audience, they might be going like, why would the fuck would you want to do that? We'll get to that in a second. But he's obviously a heavy hitter.
Yeah.
So is it crazy to think?
If you wanted to run some kind of a sex operation where you can have like minors especially and kind of just funnel them in, it would be, how much easier would it be to just have it right at the border? You know, instead of like sneaking across state lines and shit like that. Mexico is basically like, well, you know, the migrants that are coming in, that's rape central. The UN is giving them rape kits on their way from like El Salvador to Mexico from checkpoint to checkpoint. And they're saying like, basically, you're going to go through that rainforest. You're going to get raped. Here's the test kit. Here's some plan B. And maybe afterward, we could swab your pussy and find out who fucked you. They probably just throw it out. But it's like the fact that they're giving that to them and then saying, imagine like this, man, what kind of like Nephilim shit is that? They like, yeah, let's fucking pull that up. But like you're literally going to go ahead and give a young girl a rape kit, knowingly sending her to her rape, and then go home and sleep at night. Like, yeah, I did a good thing.
That's such a great point, though. Like, I was thinking more of the allowing for illegal migrants to come into the country because you control 190 acres of borderland property. And so I was like, this guy could easily be facilitating that. It makes a lot of sense for a dude who's already in a sexual blackmail operation to be facilitating it in that function. I hadn't even thought about that. That's a really great point.
Yeah, so it's not just Mexicans that are like in that car, especially when you start to think about the cartel and the occult nature of the cartel. When you talk about like the satanic aspects of it.
Yes.
It's bad. We should have an episode on an episode about that. Someone that can really tell us about, cause they do some wild shit. Like they'll eat each other, or they'll eat their rival members. There's a lot of like blood rituals.
They'll eat their hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. There's a lot of blood rituals that they have to do to get into this thing. So imagine at the highest levels. But if you share a border with them, you're gonna be. I mean, that opens up the door for not just like sex stuff, but now we're talking about like, you know, Epstein at its. On its Netflix level, it's like, oh my God, these girls were 16, 17. It's borderline.
Yeah.
And he made them rub his feet. Oh my God. To like, oh, these were like 9-year-olds. To like, oh, they were actually 3. The Talmud permitted it. They actually murdered these kids. You know, it's like, it's that much worse. And now it's like, well, they murdered them to, you know, the God Owl Minerva or whatever the hell, you know, whatever flavor of the month it is, which lowercase g God they want to appease in that region. Dude, it's bad.
That's a great point too, dude, is the way that Netflix kind of did damage control on that. And I hope we have enough time to get to it, but I think something very similar is happening with the Dan Schneider documentary. And I know a lot of people watch that documentary and they were like, wow, this is dark, fucked up shit. Believe it or not, guys, I think they did damage control in the strictest sense of like, this is bad, but we're going to control what version of bad that people see. And I think that a lot of that was aimed away from Dan Schneider. And I think it even alleviated some of the pressures on Drake Bell, who was just, you know, in Mexico or some shit under a different name. His last name was Bell, but in Spanish. He was hiding under a pseudonym or a surname, whatever the hell it is, for having sex with an underage girl. And now all of a sudden he's the victim in this documentary where his hair is even better than mine. And it's a whole thing. It really is. But we'll get into that later, hopefully. Going back to Michael Jackson, right? So we have Fahim Muhammad, who mysteriously is the head of his security, also owns 190 acres of borderland property, works for P. Diddy, and P. Diddy is operating this sexual blackmail op in the Virgin Islands, right? Which is where you start to tie in these Mossad connections. Now, going to Michael Jackson, Michael spent a lot of the end of his career being very vocal about the enemies that he had made within the music industry, even going as far as to make a list of 10 individuals who he would kind of consider like his...
I'm making a list, and they're all Jewish. They're all of them are Jewish.
Every right? So he, one. But literally, that is the case. So this list is 10 people long. Schmoly's on it, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. There are other. I think I actually still have my show notes from when I was trying to learn some shit. So there are
like
two individuals.
Ancient creature. Like when I look
looks
at
like
him,
an
I'm
ancient
like
ball
he could.
Sack.
he could be eternal. Like he could just be like the, you know, the Jew that like they were talking about, they were doing the drawings of in Germany, never died. It's just the same Jew, same age, rebranded 100%. Like the shit he's been doing.
Was I on Tower Gang where I was talking about that like Muppet that looks exactly like him? Yeah. And it's like really weird because it looks exactly like him. Like it's maybe the uncanniest likeness that I've ever seen. It's very alarming.
He did a dramatic, a costume of what the Candace Owens Jew would look like. And I'm kind of like, it looks so like weird. You, bro. It's like, it's literally you, just like, it's almost better than you because it's like a little fun. When I look at him, it does work. It troubles my heart a little bit when he's talking directly at the camera to you. I'm like, either this motherfucker. Yeah, exactly. It's Hoggle from Labyrinth.
I think it is. Yeah.
Or I guess I don't know how I'd use homunculus in this situation, but it's like that archetype of a person is inhabited by the entity throughout time, and they must look like this and appear this way because that appearance and that way of speaking has some kind of spell or has some kind of like attribute to whatever this entity is trying to achieve, whether it be like killing Michael Jackson or now setting the Jews up for a second Holocaust. Like this dude is forefront.
Yes.
He is leading the charge and almost doing it on purpose and gleefully. It's sad to see. And it's sad to see people.
Yo,
like,
dude, that's crazy because I'm suspicious of him because I'm like, this guy is playing the role of a bad guy, in my opinion, an overt bad guy. And like what you just said there is like nail on the head.
He'll grope children on a live stream. Like this is not what you're showing me is not accident. Although I do think that he's schizophrenic. I said that on Stu Peters today. I think that, you know, the Ashkenazi Jews have a 40% rate of schizophrenia in their culture, in their race. But as we know on the show, what schizophrenia is, it's not like, oh, he's disabled. What I'm saying is like, nah, that's probably not this dude. Something is going on here. They're ready to just flip the script on the Jews, and it's really unfortunate. It's crazy to watch it happen and watch. Well, now a lot of Jewish people are like, "Yo, this guy is not with us," and it's like, "This is what I've been telling you to say for the longest. Like, separate yourself from this shit because this is the guy. After the Holocaust happens, they get Israel. You get a number on your hand. They get Gaza." You know, that's how this works. It doesn't work for you. It doesn't work for me either. But the Gentile or the people that are fed up with them will play that role. They will be useful in that way to redo this whole cycle. They win whatever their next thing is that they want. And then rinse and repeat back right where we started. Be aware, people.
I think that you're like hitting the nail on the head there. This guy is playing a role. And he's playing it effectively. And it's got to take like a real kind of schizo conspiracy theorist to kind of get your head above water and go, no, no, no. This guy is Pied Pipering everybody to hate this character that he's playing. It's time to like pull the curtain back and be like, look, we've been doing it the whole time. And he's like literally this evil guy who's pinching children's nipples on a live stream and, you know, calling fucking Candace Owens the N-word and all kinds of crazy shit. But so to go back to...
If he is that dude that like, you know, whoever is, because he's not acting alone. He's probably getting like, hey, yo, do this now. And then, you know, a lot of it's freestyle that he's doing. But if this is the dude that's going to freestyle us into whatever comes next for the Jewish people, and at least that, like how they're perceived in America and probably, you know, other Western leaning countries, how big is he that he's also the dude that they sent to kill Michael Jackson?
Right. Well, and also, guys, keep in mind, I just want to mention this here. I like Candace, but today she did make a tweet about all of us having Christ consciousness within us. And I went,
saw that.
Huh.
Yep. See, it's Donnie Darken. Donnie Darken will tell you, they'll like, but this is the case with everything. It's like, you'll be like God. They get you this close, but it's the one lie that it's like just enough off track. that will eventually, like, you know, extrapolate.
And I'm looking at
you.
Her like, I like her. I like where she's going. I like what she's been saying. I like the fight that she's engaging in. I like her as a character in that fight. But realize that. I like her as a character in this fight. She's very likable. And she's talking about Christ consciousness now. And I'm going, well, that's a definitive bad guy over there. And that's a definitive good guy right there. And that's too clean cut. And that's too picturesque for me. So, you know, definitely something to pay attention to, guys. But going back to Michael, he has this list of 10 people that are he would consider his enemies, right? And all of them are Jewish. And one of them in particular is a gentleman named John Branca. And John Branca, this is what's really crazy. Towards the end of Michael's life, because this is why would we want to kill Michael Jackson? Well, what's the trope? Who controls the music industry? Who controls the media? Who controls the intelligence agencies? Now, look at the way the media portrays Michael Jackson. What's happening to Michael as they're portraying him as a child molester, as a crazy person? He's bleaching his skin, all this stuff. Well, he is reaching the end of his contract with Sony. He's telling people, hey, guys, we're almost in the home stretch. These people, and he's saying this is shit that he's saying. I'm paraphrasing, but he's going, these people are pieces of shit. They do terrible things to the artists. They don't care about us at all. They don't care about you. And everything is about disempowering the artist and ripping away from them. But the good news, guys, I'm coming to the end of my contract with Sony. I only have one box set to finish with them. It's just a greatest hits box set. And they want two new songs. That's all they want from me. And what's crazy is he says, every time I do an album, I make 120 songs. And I only use whatever the album is. So I have songs. I got a lot of songs. I'll pick two songs. I'll give it to him. It's done. Something absolutely insane happens that in any context would raise so many red flags. But for some reason, I won't say for some reason, but because it's Michael Jackson and we all think he's a pedophile who's absolutely insane, just because he wants to wrap his baby in a blanket and hold it over a balcony, what father hasn't wrapped their baby in a blanket and held him over a balcony? Is this not America? So this man,
it is,
who
even Tony Merkel was saying, like, I don't know if you heard the last one of his last episodes where he's throwing his son and his son broke his arm. Hey, listen, like, I listened to it and I was like, oh, because I feel that, like, you're playing, yep, with your kid, man, and the kid's like, let's fucking go, and you do so, and you're playing, yep, and you're like, I think I hurt him. Thank God I have never hurt my kid to the point where it's like, broke him something, but, like, everybody knows, we're, like, you're doing shit. I'm letting this kid explore the world dangerously and trying to be as safe as I can. That's just dad shit. Good on
I've
Michael.
Leg kicked my kid. We do fighting all the time. I've leg kicked him and I've like, oh, that one was a little bit too much. Fucking builds character though. So I get it, right? I never hung him over
Don't
a balcony.
Kick him in that
but
calf.
Like,
give him a couple of.
I've been threatening him though. I have been threatening him because he jumped on my back the other day and I was like, which leg is it? And he's like, it's this leg. And I was like, I grabbed him and I went like started making the noises and he was like, no. So I'm letting him know, like, I know your weakness right now. But so the media. The sort of synagogue of Satan backed media, right? Because guys, we've got to make a clarification. I would hope you guys know us by now, but it's obviously not all Jews. I have people that are related to me, whom I love dearly, and they're Jewish, but they worship Christ. I don't know if they see the disconnect there. I haven't really bothered them, but like, I'm not saying all Jews, but it just so happens that within the music industry, within the media of Hollywood, within the intelligence agencies, they are predominantly controlled by who I've begun, you know, to call,
you know, what's funny,
the sort of the synagogue of Satan.
Something to add on to that. I had a tweet go sort of viral when I was talking to that Wall Street Silver guy. You know who he is?
Yeah. Like, what was that about?
So he was like, these people said that I'm a Zionist, and like Elon Musk commented, ha ha ha. And like, there's a meme of him and a bunch of other accounts. No, he said that they said that I'm Jewish. And it said, like, they just put a little Jewish star next to all the people that they thought. And he's like, I'm not Jewish. I'm Catholic. And I said, you're Catholic, but are you a Zionist, though? Question mark. And, like, a bunch of midwits were like, he fucking said he's Catholic, you idiot. And I was like, these are different things. You could even be Christian. Most Christians, most of them in the church are Zionists. They fly the Israeli flag there. They're sending money to Israel.
I went to a church and they were doing that. And I was like, yeah. Oh, can't come back here.
That's a textbook Zionism is when you, like, basically when you just agree and also worship the government of Israel, which is what a lot of people do. They don't even know why, but they do. Some of them are getting paid, some aren't. I don't, listen, it's not for me to say, but I asked, and the differentiation was like, most people were like, what? Some people got it and they're like, oh shit, like, answer the question. He never answered it. Maybe he never saw it. I don't know, whatever, but it's a fair question. So it's not Jewish people. And even like Zionist, the term Zionist is like, it's certain things that people do. That's what I'm talking about. You can call me anti-Semitic, say, hey, Jews, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
We're talking like about, even it's like the Israeli government. It's like, these are people who are trying to manufacture end times prop. Israeli government. I did it again. I could play that off like that was on purpose and I'm clever. Just totally retarded, guys. Just totally retarded. But, you know, these are people who are trying to manufacture end times prophecy as we speak, by the way. You know, we're rolling up on the sacrifice of the red heifer, the building of the third temple. You know, this is all the Israeli government.
I'm trying to find it right now because it's so
what you have the
funny,
image.
Dude. I thought I did. I don't have it on here.
Man, it's a great, if you find it, toss it up there. But so, all right. Now, going back to Michael Jackson, this list of his 10 enemies, Rabbi Shmuley, John Branca, right? And Michael Jackson coming to the end of his contract with Sony. Michael Jackson owned 50% of Sony, which is fucking insane. Michael Jackson owned, you know, he did a lot of gangster shit too, by the way. You know that when Eminem was dunking on him, I think it was during the album Encore, Michael Jackson bought his entire catalog.
He just bought his shit. Yeah. Michael Jackson's a G. He doesn't play that shit, dude.
Bro, that is, I think he did that to more than just Eminem, but it was like, okay, go ahead. Now every time, there you go. Israelis, dude. What I mean, like, you made a meme there, a classic meme that, like, that's gonna get spread around for sure. That's fucking hilarious.
So stupid.
So, but yeah, Michael Jackson, total gangster. Every time Eminem performed after that, boom. Yes, there you go. He owned the Beatles catalog. I didn't want to say that. I'll let you say that. Okay, so, because I don't
know
if that's true.
What were his ties with Trump? Like, again, because there's something else going on there. That's a very Q
thing. There is something else
thing.
Really very QAnon. And maybe we'll get into that. But let me finish up this kind of line of thought here. So, he owns 50% of Sony. Now, something incredible happens. And like I said, this is the thing that would raise red flags on everybody if it wasn't for the fact that the Jewish-owned media totally spins Michael Jackson to be this psychotic pedophile bad guy. What ends up happening is one day Michael Jackson's entire will gets rewritten in a location that Michael Jackson is verifiably not at that day. He is on video being in New York City and he's got correspondence from his family saying he was not there. He did not rewrite his will. He was in New York City. So, when Michael Jackson dies, his will dictates that the main benefactor is John Branca, one of the Jewish guys who's on his list of top 10 enemies, becomes the recipient of $230+ million and his entire estate and his half of Sony worth $750 million. And nobody stops to go, why would Michael Jackson leave everything to a man who he just said was on his top 10 list of enemies? They murdered him using this guy, Fahim Muhammad, who works for P. Diddy, also mysteriously becomes the head of his security. And the Who is the same people who control the music industry, who he's in a fight with, because they're the same people that run the media who are calling him a pedophile and a psychopath and all this shit. And they're the same people who are running this blackmail sex op in the Virgin Islands, which is, if you look into the Epstein thing, Mossad. It's the same fucking people.
They're talking about Sony's market cap, $105.5 billion now, where you were talking about almost like $750 million. For half of Sony, like, I guess that was back in 2000, whenever he died. It's not about that. It's not about the money. The money doesn't matter. Like, when you said that number, I was like, not even close enough to how much that actually controls. You're talking about not just music, what's put into people's ears constantly on the radio, which is changing because people are listening to less and less radio. So now they have to, like, I don't know, their plan of attack has to be much different. But that's irreplaceable. And then also, like, bribing these people, because Sony and those record labels will be the ones that then tell, they'll tell the artist when to go on tour. And they'll set them up with people around them, basically, to hype them up, buy things so that, basically, you can make a lot of money. But if you buy a house that you then have to pay for and continually work, that's how it's usury. It's the shit that Owen Benjamin talks about. It's like, it's debt. They keep them in some sort of debt, even though they're making a ton of money, and they tell them what to do, where to go, when to do it. It's like, there's a lot of fucking power there, besides the power it has over the masses, which, whole nother thing.
You know what's crazy, though? So, okay, you think about Mossad being involved in this Epstein blackmailing operation, and it's not just a blackmailing operation. There is this sacrificial element to it, this owl of Minerva, this sort of Luciferianism that is happening behind the scenes of, you know, Epstein's Island. And then you look at, well, let's say the same people are controlling Hollywood. Well, what does Hollywood pump out constantly? It's overt. You can't even call it subliminal messaging. It's on the surface now. The satanic imagery is all over everything that Hollywood produces nowadays. Well, what is the music industry doing? And you look at P. Diddy and his hand in all this, and you go, okay, well, what's hip-hop doing? Look at the artists that have been pushed to the forefront of hip-hop. Lil Uzi Vert, Lil Nas X, Juice WRLD. All these people are pushing overt Satanism. So you go, why do these Jews all do the same thing? It's because they're not real Jews. They are the synagogue of Satan. That's why all the messaging from Hollywood, all the messaging from the music industry, and the backdrop to this sexual blackmail operation in the Virgin Islands is all satanic in nature, because that's who's perpetrating it, you know? And they hide behind this veil of just whacking you in the head with anti-Semitism. Or Stu Peters pointed it out when I was with him. He goes, it's not even just the veil of anti-Semitism or the threat of anti-Semitism. It's they kill you. They just fucking kill you, you know? So I don't know what to make of, you know, Tupac's involvement in this, because I always kind of thought he was like kind of a gay actor. It's my understanding that he was a backup dancer when they found him. I really liked Pac. For a long time, I liked Pac more than I liked Biggie. And then I developed actual taste as I got older, and I realized that it was just like Pac's voice that I enjoyed. And there was an album that was really dope. It was called, I think it was called Loyal to the Game. And it was an Eminem collab album, which is really strange, because in the beginning of Soldier Like Me, it might be the song Soldier Like Me on the album Loyal to the Game, which was an Eminem and Tupac collaboration that came out in 2005. And the reason I remember that it's 2005 is because in the beginning of that song, Tupac goes, 2005, guess who's back? Chick, chicka, chicka, guess who's back? And then it goes, sold. It's a really good song, actually. But at that age, I was like, I was 15. I was like, I thought he was thought he was dead. There's this guy not dead? And they were like, well, we took some creative liberties with his vocals and were able to. And I was like, what? So I don't know about all that. I don't know how Tupac fits into all this. But obviously, whatever this industry, this, you know, this looming satanic shadow that hovers over all these different things and is pulling intelligence agencies and Hollywood and the music industry like puppet strings. They also have, yeah, this ability to just swoop down and fucking kill you.
It's odd that Tupac is in the situation of being at the forefront of, like, you know, that, like, AI voice modulation, where Rabbi Shmuley said, oh, I didn't call Candace Owens a nigger, but it was like, it was AI voice. Was like, I don't know. We might have heard that from Tupac. We also saw, like, Project Bluebeam from Tupac. He was one of the first people that why this guy? Yeah, like, why hip hop? Why black people? It's like, well, I mean, oh, you know, like the joking thing would say, like, well, that's the homunculus of the Jew, the black man, or the golem of the Jew.
It's not even a fucking joke, though.
It's not. It doesn't. It feels like it's like, God damn. Like, every time, like, we're proven right again. I'm just like, it just gets more and more depressing. I get more and more pessimistic and sarcastic.
You see, it's like a meme where there's a dude bowling. The bowling pins are like Western civilization. The bowling ball is a black baby, and the bowler is like a Jew. And it's like, well, something's going on there. I do think that because the instruments that have been the downfall of the black community, well, who controls the banks that, you know, redlined them and made sure that they couldn't own, you know, real estate or anything like that outside of the designated ghetto. And then what happened to their music? Well, even Ice Cube just came out recently, which, like, people think that he's a good guy. I'm like, no, he was like one of the first, he was the archetype for destroying the black community, in that when the prison industrial complex started being funded by the federal government, there became a monetary incentive for the prison industrial complex to reach out to the music industry and say, hey, we'll give you some of this federal funding if you start to have your artists push messaging that would otherwise land black men in prison, right? So they used the music industry and, of course, just media in general to spread the messaging and paint the picture of what Black America was, and they used the banks to make sure that they were stuck in the way that they were. So, I mean, come on, man, who owns the? Yes,
it's like that's the thing. Like, a great argument for it would be, you know, a lot of people like, well, Joe Biden wrote the war on drugs. It's like he did, so that's like Democrat influence. But then you could say that Ronald Reagan imported the crack into the black communities, and it's like, well, this is left wing, right wing. What do we see even today with left wing and right wing, besides one of the last votes that they had on one of these bills? But it's always like unanimous support towards Israel, whatever AIPAC needs. You know, there's always some kind of a lobby where it's like, how the fuck did that pass? And everything else get, you know, pushed down. We can't fund a border. I'm not saying that we should build a border wall, that it'll actually work, but like, we fund Israel, no problem. Not even a debate. Every single time. And now we fund their wars, no problem. We can't agree on a wall. And this is Republicans as well voting against it. So it's like, whenever you see something that's like both sides of the aisle and it looks curious to you, it's like, oh, well, there's that thing in the middle there. We know what it's called.
And something else. Yeah,
it's just putting their finger on the scale and pushing something else through. So it's like, it's not really a surprise when you see the drugs, you see the jails, and then the music working in tandem with it. It's just fucking, it's overwhelming. It's crazy.
Yeah, the apparatus that is aimed against him. And now that apparatus is being aimed at different groups in America. But it's like, I don't know. I guess it's always been aimed at white people too, because when you have a culture that is side by side with white American culture and you destroy it, and then while you're destroying it, you also convince them culturally, like, and it's their fault. It's the white people's fault. So you literally tear them down, right? Who owned the ships? It's such a long fucking con, dude. It's an unbelievable long con. Who owned the ships, all the way up to who engineered gangster rap?
It's funny when you see like a Jon Stewart, and he's kind of like stoking black rage against the white man. He'll be like, I'm not white, but these guys, mm-hmm. Like, it's like, wow, this is dirty, dude. This is, and you know what? Fuck you for even if you watch this and you get offended at what I'm saying, fuck you. Because this is actually happening. Like, we see this all the time. It's insulting for me to even have to bring this up over and over and over again. It's insulting for me. You're completely ignoring it and then acting as if we're racist or this or that, or we see this behind every corner. It's like, we don't, you're showing it to us. And anyone that's paying attention, like, the game is kind of up. It's crazy. Yeah. Very obvious.
Okay. So let's, before we dismount from this, cause I know we don't have a lot of time. I do want to get onto that documentary about Dan Schneider, but I want to dismount in a way that wraps this up nicely, because we started by saying that these are two groups that Top and I make fun of all the time, right? Jewish people and Black people. And I think for once, I'd like to pop my head above water a little bit, have a little bit of nuance, and cue people into what our actual, or at least my actual thoughts, and I'm pretty sure they align with yours. I just don't want to speak for you, but it's like, you know, we're going off saying all this shit about Jews, and then we're having the nuance to say, like, this is Nephilim shit. This isn't real Jews. This is the synagogue of Satan. This is ancient biblical adversarial spirits that have been here since the dawn of time that are co-opting a group, calling themselves the Jews. And anytime you start to notice, they call you an anti-Semite, and it's a really effective shield. And then you look at the Black community.
This is why I have like have a lot, not pity, what's the correct word, but I give a lot of leeway to somebody like a L.A. Marzulli. He's involved with a lot of this research, this other stuff. He's correct about the Jews, about the Jews are the chosen people. It's just like, what's going on? You're not paying attention culturally. What's going on? Are these actually them? Have they been subverted? Where are they? They have it right where it's like, okay, yeah, that's God's people, but not these people. I don't think, at least.
Well, I mean, like I said, I have relatives that are Jewish that pray to Christ at every meal. Like, every prayer begins with to Jesus Christ. And so I'm like, you know, these are not the same people. But then you look at the Black community, another community that we make fun of relentlessly, and it's because I'm tired of pretending that these things aren't happening and everybody's too afraid to say anything because they don't want to be called racist. But if you stop for a moment and realize that it's not racism to draw attention to actual things that are happening, then maybe you'd be okay to say something. But instead, it's not really about your fear of racism. It's about your fear of whatever the mob thinks. But we're talking about a group of people whose systemic destruction is pretty obviously drawn out. You know, when you're in the slave trade, all the things that you want to say about it, at the very least, you can say, well, you don't really have property to pass down. There's no legacy to pass down from one generation to the next. So you don't inherit anything. So that kind of puts you off to a bad start. And then when you try to own property, well, redlining happens and the bank doesn't allow you to own property, especially anywhere that isn't the hood, right? And then the cocaine is funneled into the country to fund the Iran-Contra wars through people like, you know, or by people like Freeway Ricky Ross, who ends up cutting it into crack and creating our own government to fund the wars, creates the crack epidemic of the 80s, which disproportionately affects the hood. And the laws that are put in place by people like Joe Biden make it so that even misdemeanor offenses are tossing people, you know, or what would be misdemeanor offenses are tossing people in prison. So the men are either going to prison or they're becoming addicted to crack, which leads you to one of the other places, which is either prison or death, right? And then the music industry is co-opted, and something that starts off with, like, you know, Cool Herc and what was that other there was a couple of really cool groups before hip hop became gangster rap. And, you know, the prison industrial complex comes along, starts getting that federal funding, and all of a sudden the music industry gets involved in creating gangster rap to spread the messaging that's going to throw what's left of the male population of the Black community in prison, right? And everybody knows that the number one indicator of whether or not children are going to end up dead, young, or in jail is fatherlessness. Right. So you are destroying the family unit. You're making it so that there's nothing to inherit and there's nothing to build. And you're making their culture one that is basically just misogyny, drug use, and violence. And that's what you're glorifying. And that's it. It's like rock and roll was an art form that, you know, reflected the culture. Black culture is a reflection of a co-opted art form. So where other genres of music come out of a culture and it's like the echoes of their culture, this was captured and basically hyper polished and turned into a mirror that, like, was aimed at the Black community. And the Black community just started to be like, look, that's our culture. That's how we act. Everything and the apparatus that was launched against them was fucking massive. So when you see people like Ice Cube come out and he's saying, oh, we were co-opted and told to spread this messaging. Ice Cube has recently come out and said that. And this is not something that's new. If you look at The Doors and what's his name? Jim Morrison in The Doors. Jim Morrison's father was a CIA agent. And you know, all of this, that basically the anti-war movement was co-opted and then steered from there. And I think really what they did was they steered it in the direction of the, it went from the anti-war movement to the psychedelic and drug use movement, which I think is always something that they wanted to. These are long fucking cons. So I just want to say, guys, I know this was a tangent, but like Top and I rip on people on Twitter all fucking day. And I won't take back a single fucking thing that I said, but the truth of the matter is Twitter is not the place for nuance, and you're not going to get it there from me, because really I'm just there in the trenches swinging a broadsword at any dummy that'll fucking, you know, come at us. Yeah. But otherwise I do have nuance on these things. I understand the mechanics at play, but I'm not going to button up and not say these things. I'm not going to make fun of Black chicks who, or white chicks who date Black guys, take pictures with their babies, and then 5 months later take pictures with Black eyes and are now single moms. Like, that's fucking hilarious.
Dude, there was a thing,
but I know where it comes from.
There's a thing with Javier Milei recently where he approved 900 whatever for transgender. It's for like a, from a previous administration, but I'm also like, fuck this guy. I read that. I saw that. I saw the community note, and then I still posted what I wanted after because it's fucking funny. I was like, you know, your child's genitals, afuera. This kind of, listen, if you take what I'm saying on there seriously as news, that's your problem. You get mad at it. If you take it as like comedy, that's kind of, I'm just making jokes there. Sometimes I'll try to make a salient point, but we'll do that more here. Or if you actually, some people have DM'd me. What do you mean by this? And if you're not a dick, I might answer you back. I'd be like, this is what I, you know, I was talking about this. This is how I see it. If I have the time. Sometimes I'll do that. But like, yeah, Twitter's not the place for that.
It's not the place for nuance. It's the trenches. Twitter is the trenches. So so I want to dismount off that. Really sorry, guys. I know that was took up a lot of fucking time. But have you watched this Dan Schneider thing?
Not yet, no.
So you should watch it. You'd find it really interesting. It's a short series. I think it's only 4 episodes. And I thought you guys were the most legit. Dude, and that's the other thing, too, is if you come here, we might be more serious and more nuanced on Nephilim Death Squad, rarely on Neph to America, although this just happened.
We are.
But if you're not.
We're the most legit news source on Twitter, the same way I am the funniest in the top 10% of comedians in Austin. There you go.
That's fucking right, dude.
Yeah.
But if you're listening to this show and you're taking what we're saying, like, you're just as retarded as we are. Do your own research. If I said anything interesting here, like, go and look it up, dude. Go try to fucking learn something. Because who knows? I could have just lied about every single thing that I just said.
No, because I do know a lot of the stuff you were talking about Michael with, because I've heard it from where I heard, you know, the deep dives, but that person that did the deep dive was scared to name the J. And it's hard to tell Michael Jackson's real story if you're not willing to start talking about rabbis and fucking music producers and shit like that. It's, yeah, you got to have no sacred cows, and you just got to tell it like it is. Say, this is what he was saying. It's rough.
I mean, isn't it like, it feels gross, man, because I, you know, 2009 is when Michael Jackson died, and he was being demonized by the media leading up to that for like the decade prior to it.
And Jacko.
I had one of my best friends, shout out to John. He's a Puerto Rican dude that I grew up with, and he was a diehard Michael Jackson fan. And he just, like, he had a good, you know, he's not dead. I'm talking about past tense. He's got a good head on his shoulders. Like, he also knows when, like, something doesn't make sense, something doesn't check out. And as kids, because of his lead, like, I never fell into that shit, like, that definitively Michael was molesting kids or anything like that. And when he died that very same day, he and I both were like, he was murdered. Like, we've been saying this shit from the jump, but like, still, I had my doubts. Right. Like, I had my doubts that he was, I you just don't know. You're only getting what the media is telling you. And just for that, like, it feels gross to even have fallen mildly for that shit. Like, damn, dude, the picture that they painted of that guy.
Disgusting. What they did to one of the, because I now my daughter's listening to him. I'm trying to explain to her, like, yeah, he was black and then he was Spanish and then he was white. It's all the same guy. She's watching like the music videos and shit. But I'm like, wow, what a talent.
He was black and he was Spanish and he was
white. It's confusing.
White.
Explain this to a 5-year-old. Yeah. First off, they heard him and they're like, that's a girl. And I'm like, no, it's a guy. It's a guy. It's a white guy. Like, I don't remember like which song you're listening to. He might be white. He might be this color.
Is this
I don't
white,
know.
Michael? Do you remember? But, okay, so what's his name? His doctor, Marshall Banana. The killer was not Dr. Murray. So Dr. Murray, it's my understanding. And guys, please, like I said, fucking you hear something interesting here. Go and research it. He wrote a tell-all in which he said that in order to preserve Michael Jackson's voice, Michael was a castrato. So his father, Joe Jackson, allegedly had him chemically castrated. And that doesn't mean like burning your balls off with acid, but apparently something was administered to Michael to keep him from developing during puberty in order to keep his voice from developing, in order
like
to keep the cash coming.
That they're just giving kids now?
So he might have been like one of the first fucking recipients of
maybe,
something like that.
Maybe they're trying, they're not trying to make your kids trans and mutilated. They're just looking for the next Michael Jackson, guys. Everybody calm
down.
That's
it. They just, they're like, we got to stop. We're just letting these wonderful little boy voices fall through the gaps. We need to preserve some of them. So yeah, Joe Jackson allegedly chemically castrates Michael Jackson so that he never goes through puberty.
What I was saying, what they did to this guy, and it's not just like, it's inhuman, it's bizarre. Like the video of him standing there noticing that every time he moves, they take pictures. Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah, it's...
So what does he do? Does he just stop moving?
He's doing like a press conference and he's reading something, and every time he like moves and looks up, they go... And then he stops and he reads and then he looks again. And then after a certain point, he starts going like this. Like to fuck with them. And every time he does it, they take the pictures. But no, it's dirty because what does that do to somebody? Like, I was just sitting on stage and there's bright lights and it's like weird. It's overwhelming. You can't really see the audience. It's got to do something psychologically. Why would you continue to do that to someone every time he... Like, just... They tortured this dude. And not only did they torture him, which is inhumane for any person, but like they tortured one of the most unique talents on Earth. Period. It says it rumbles down, but I think it's up still. But they tortured and they killed one of the most unique talents on Earth. He's one of the guys, like, again, as a musician, I remember watching his movie and you could see a lot of like this behind the stage stuff, but he'll be on a stage with, I don't know, like 100 people doing shit. There's dancers, there's backup singers, there's people playing instruments. And he can pick out someone. He's like, you played the wrong note on the bass. On the second chorus, we have to go back and redo it. This motherfucker was special, and they took it from you. Just because he wouldn't play ball, whatever the reason. Disgusting.
Well, I mean, I don't have very much information on it, but I know that there are people who speculate that he wasn't taken from us and that he still is out there in some capacity. I know that there is like a dude who was famously on maybe like Larry King Live or some shit like that, a burn victim who very much like the... David Bowie guy, after Bowie passes away, some correspondent goes on to talk about him and looks exactly like David Bowie. And he sounds like David Bowie. And then this guy for Michael Jackson looks like a burn victim. He's totally indiscernible in his face, but he sounds like Michael. And so, you know, there is this weird kind of QAnon thing that I've not really touched on much, but it's like, oh, Princess Diana's alive, Michael Jackson's alive, Elvis is alive, and I think even maybe Tupac, David Bowie. And I'm like, that's a lot of fucking people that would have to have faked their death. Although even with Tupac, that was always the speculation, is that he wrote, read a book by Prince Machiavelli, who was, Machiavelli was a moniker or a monicum, whatever the fuck the expression is, that Pac went by. And that he wrote a book on like war tactics. And one of the chapters was about, this is something that Pac read in prison, about how you would fake your death, wait for your enemies to basically destroy themselves before you reemerged. A lot of people conflate it and say that it's something that Machiavelli did, but it was more something that he wrote about. But there's always been these conspiracy theories. And that's kind of scary too, because it's like, let me tell you, if one day this QAnon shit is vindicated and all these people come back. That would be, I don't think that that would happen. I don't put any faith in that because it just found, it sounds too Hollywood, although this world is very strange. But if that ever happened, that would be something to be very cautious of, right? When you talk about falling for like giant deceptions and shit, in the same way that Candace Owens is, seems to be the good guy, but then all of a sudden drops Christ consciousness. I'd be very hesitant if a bunch of people came back. It'd be like every conspiracy theory is vindicated, and yet I'm still like, I don't fucking know, guys. This seems weird to me. You should all pump the brakes. So who knows?
Beware.
But going,
beware of the next
that's
psyop.
That's it, dude. Beware of the next psyop. So going to this Dan Schneider thing, because I know we got to get out of here soon. I just want to say that it's very strange to me because very much in the Epstein way, they, well, Dan Schneider kind of wasn't very feminist, didn't think that women were funny. And I'm like, well, he's kind of right. But that was one of the things. It was like, Dan Schneider thinks that women aren't funny. And I was like, base, dude, can you get onto the bad stuff now? And well, Dan Schneider would make like a lot of really inappropriate jokes. And he would also have like female staff members massage him. And I'm like, okay, but what about the part where he is more than likely the father of Jamie Lynn Spears' child? Like, that was the shit that I was looking for, and they never touched on that. And then something interesting happens where, you know, the first episode, you're like, all right, they're going to get into it. And the second episode, it's like, all right, they're going to get into it. This felt a little bit weak. They're talking about, you know, inappropriate jokes and women not being funny, but they're going to get into it. And then the third episode, they pivot. Now it's, what the hell's his name? The guy from Drake Bell is in the seat, and he is, and I'm not saying this isn't true, but like, number one, he is immaculate looking. Everybody else comes on and they talk, and they're not remarkable in any way. His suit was immaculate. His hair was immaculate, and he was acting for dramatic effect. Now, you can make an argument that, like, listen, he's a child actor. You're probably not going to get a version of him that's talking on camera that doesn't have some sort of dramatic effect. But, like, I recognize that this dude was, in my opinion, acting for dramatic effect. He was really milking the drama of it. And, okay, fine. I'm not telling anybody what they have to do with their fucking trauma, right? You want to tell a story, you want to tell a good one, I guess, you know, go ahead and do it. But there was something about him. I recognize that the way they wanted you to perceive him was, like, they wanted you to think that he was handsome. They wanted you to think that he was charismatic. They wanted you to think that he was talented. And they wanted you to think that he was entirely a victim. I recognize that. I can't detach from that shit, dude. When you present me something and I can tell how you want me to perceive it, I fucking can't anymore. Sorry. Like, I saw through the illusion. Now I can't. Even if this dude is genuinely telling the truth, you fucked it up for me. Right? So this could be my own bias. But he starts talking about a different dude, Brian something or another, who, you know, basically, this is a little bit weird. He's like, woke up in the middle of the night sleeping over his house at 15 years old, and he's fucking me. And I don't know if he's fucking him or he's sucking him or whatever, but I'm like, 15, dog? 15? You're not fucking me at 15. Like, I remember who I was at 15 years old. You're not fucking me. I'm not staying over some dude's house waking up and he's fucking sucking me off, and I'm going to be like, oh, better go back to sleep. Like, not happening. Maybe Drake Bell is a pussy. Could happen, right? But either way, so he starts talking about how the case comes out that this dude did bang him. And then Dan Schneider comes to him and he goes, do you need anything? Anything you need at all, please. I want you to be okay. Yada, yada, yada. And it basically, he says, like, he was really there for me. And I really needed him to be there for me. And he had been there since I was a kid. So we were really close. And then that's the whole episode, you know, that they focus on in the third one. And then the fourth one, they just go back to, like, Dan Schneider was a little bit weird and a little bit creepy. So in my opinion, I just kind of feel like it was mild. Like, there was so much more there that they didn't get into. And I understand you can't make a documentary and sling all kinds of allegations like I just did. But it definitely felt like damage control.
You know what? Maybe I'll ask Royce and Mersh if they want to come on this show, because 10 years ago, they were the people that were breaking that Dan Schneider shit. And they had, like, mainstream yeah, they had mainstream media people coming to them to be like, hey, can we get a comment? And they were like, fuck you. Like, as they basically, they took their YouTube away, all this kinds of stuff. So that might be a fun, I'll ask them if they want to do it. That would be a fun thing to do.
That'd be really cool. I would enjoy the shit.
I got to get going. Before we go, I also wanted to mention, check out some Michael Jackson videos. A lot of UFO shit in Michael Jackson videos. Yep. A lot of alien type stuff, UFOs. He alludes to abduction, all kinds of weird, I don't know. A lot going on with that motherfucker. Anything else before we go, man?
Shit. Guys, don't forget samtripoli.com. Click on events, go to the 30th, come see us at the Joke Joint. And also subscribe to our Patreon. We're about to God damn it. We're going to do it.
Patreon.
We have to do it. Yeah. Go to patreon.com/NephilimDeathSquad. Sign up at the $5 tier. Not only will you gain access to our super secret Q&A show that's going to drop really soon. So get in there and submit some questions. We got a shit ton already. Hopefully we get through all of them. Actually, but you'll also be able to join the Telegram.
I'm going to put it away. Wait a minute. Don't join just yet, because that website, the website that we're making is pretty much going to be made. It's going to be done. You'll be able to subscribe there right away. And that's where we want people. It's going to be over there. It'll probably be like $8 a month, no tiers. And that's just how we're going to run it. But we're going to get it off Patreon because they're a bunch of Jews. See you later.
That's a good move. The greatest hypnotist on planet Earth is a oblong box in the corner of the room. It is constantly telling us what to believe is real. If you can persuade them that what they see with their eyes is what there is to see, you got them. Because they'll laugh in the face of an explanation that portrays the bigger picture of what's happening. And they have.